Welcome everybody to day 6 of the podcast, and as you already know, we are in 12 days of prayer and fasting, and we're pressing into experiencing more of the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church body, as a whole faith community. Whether you're in Perth, Australia, whether you're in Bangkok, Thailand, San Francisco, or here with me in Melbourne, whether you're a university student, a parent, homeschooling your children, or whether you're maybe a project team leader in the banking sector, we are looking at answering the question, how am I growing in an awareness of His presence? And on this podcast, each day we are chatting with different people in our church community to hear the testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in awareness of the presence of God. And today we have someone joining us from the east of Melbourne, but not from the east of Melbourne. We have Pastor JJ. Welcome.
Thanks. So good to be with you all.
You have one of my favorite accents. You have the South African accent. It is. It's my fave.
That's good to hear.
So, JJ, you and your wife, Paulina, and your three kids just recently moved from the Gold Coast to sunny Melbourne, I prophesy, in Jesus' name. We were just talking about the temperature this morning. It was very chilly.
Very chilly. 2.3.
Yeah.
Nice
and warm. When did you land in Melbourne? Remind me.
August.
Oh, my gosh. So you even came in the dead of winter from sunny Queensland.
Yes, I'm used to it. Not.
So you have three children.
Three kids.
You have two boys,
yes.
And one girl.
Yes.
One precious girl.
Our little princess.
Yeah. And remind me their ages again.
So Jay is 19.
Yeah.
Turning 20 in a couple of days.
Wowzers.
Edward is 17.
Yep.
Turning 18 at the end of this month, and then our little Princess Elizabeth, she's turning 13 in August.
She's a firecracker. I love her.
Watch her.
That's awesome. So thank you for joining us today.
Oh, such a pleasure.
I love the testimony of, I've just recently got to know you guys, but I've loved hearing the testimony of your life and just what the Lord has done through the whole story of your family, your children included. He is at the forefront and center of your life, and it doesn't take long to chat with you guys to realize that. So maybe we can start by you sharing a little bit of, if you can remember, maybe when the first time was that you became aware of the manifest presence of God in your life.
Yeah, I can. I was in a season of my life where I was seeking my identity. I'd given my life to Jesus back in Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, where I grew up.
Wow.
At a Baptist church.
Wow.
But this was now in South Africa. And I was in the police force in South Africa. And I was seeking. But I was working at night at the State Theatre as front of house manager.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you got to do with all the arts and everybody that's creative, which I loved. And
shout out to the creatives.
Yeah,
they're my
people. There you go. And there was this beautiful, very petite ballerina called Jackie, and she was a practicing Christian.
Wow.
And she said she was nagging me, come to church. And one day I just thought, oh, I'll just shut her up and go to church with her.
I love it. So that happens so many times.
I know. And God has a plan, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I went to church with her, and it was this massive church called Hatfield Christian Church. And there were so many people. The worship I was just standing there in awe of everything that was going on.
Wow.
I closed my eyes. I remember closing my eyes, and all of a sudden there was this commotion to the left of me, and I looked and there was this manifestation happening.
Wow.
Of course, you can imagine. I don't know.
In a Baptist church. It was a Baptist church. Wow, so good.
I'm like, what is going on? And then I closed my eyes again, and it was like automatically my hands just raised up.
Wow.
My mouth opened and this sound came out of my mouth.
Wow.
Which I now know is my heavenly language.
Yep.
And I just started singing in the heavenly language. So when the scripture comes that, you know, you've got to lay your hands on and be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that didn't happen to me. God just decided He's going to dump. And
did you know anything about tongues at that time?
Not at all.
So I have a similar testimony.
Crazy.
I have a similar testimony. I was like 13 and went to like a youth rally. A friend took me to a youth rally. I knew nothing about the Book of Acts at all. Like, I knew Jesus loved me and that he died and then he was resurrected and that was about it. Yeah. And they were praying for something and my friend's like, let's go down. And I had no idea what it was. I was just like, sure, whatever, I'm up for everything. And went down and they prayed for us and I started speaking in tongues. But I just remember I felt so loved. This whole thing of love washed over me and out of that something came out of my mouth and they had to explain to me later what had happened.
Yeah, same. I was singing, but I was singing in this heavenly language, which I found out later is my heavenly language.
Yeah.
But the tears, there was this warmth that came over me from the crowd. Even now I feel.
Yeah.
There was warmth that came over me. And I wasn't a practicing Christian. I wasn't. Wow. I was seeking. I was in the world.
You know,
seriously. My lifestyle was not one of a godly lifestyle, but God so loved me even in that moment.
Yeah.
And that was the first time. Stands out.
I love how Jesus is so offensive. We love to like put a process in place, right? Like okay, you need to come and do Alpha, then you need to come and do the Purple Book, and then you need to come and do like our new Christians program or whatever. And God's like, here's my Holy Spirit. That's my Jesus. I love it. He bends our minds constantly. That's incredible. That's an incredible testimony. Wowzers.
And I've got to say, I didn't leave that place and go, you know, I was burning for Jesus after that. I was still seeking. I still went on this journey of seeking and trying to find identity. It wasn't like, oh, now I was burning and, you know, I was at church every Sunday.
So good, JJ.
Good on Jackie because she kept on going every Sunday, even after that. Are you coming to church? And I was going, no.
Wow.
Yeah, so. But God...
He had his plan. So fast forward a little bit after that encounter. What did then, I guess, encountering the presence of God look like in your early years?
I think it was because I was so broken and I was lost and I was seeking. And I think I look back now and I go, I see the hand of God upon me throughout all of that. He protected me. I mean, the South African police force, you know what I mean? So it's not rosy, it's not pretty, it's not beautiful.
Wow.
He protected me. And then one day, this is part of my testimony, but one day I was in this brokenness. I was actually not in my own senses. I was very drunk.
Yeah.
Climbed on a public bus with my glass and my wine.
And your traveler.
Sat on, went and woke up a friend of mine who was also in the police and sat on his bed, cried my eyes out. I was at the point of contemplated suicide, et cetera.
Yeah.
And he said, I made him a promise in my drunken stupor to go to church, to go to youth group with him.
Wow.
And the Thursday phoned me to remind me and I denied it that I had ever said that. And they're very, very denial, didn't want to go. Anyway, I ended up going because I'm a man of my word. And that was the beginning of where I am now because I walked in. I'd never, like my mum and dad were good people. But I never got a physical hug from my dad because he just grew up that way. He didn't get a physical
hug. Very common in that generation.
Yeah. And I walked into this youth group and there was this guy. The guy who took me, his name is Peter. And the other guy's name is John.
Mm-hmm.
Peter and John.
Peter and John, love it.
There you go. And Peter says to John, just JJ, and John puts everything down and comes and gives me this physical hug. And I'm like, what is all this about? Anyway, so I go outside, and this is the fun bit. In South Africa, everybody kisses on their lips where you greet one another.
Get out.
No, I'm serious.
Get out. Hold the train. What?
Yep. So,
my goodness.
This is God sealing it, because I go outside and this girl comes along and pretty cool. And she grabs me by my ears and she kisses me and says, welcome to youth. And I'm like, baby, I'm back next week. Now it's for sure. And that was it. I was there every Friday. I was there. You know, I think I had a different motive, but God had his motive.
Doesn't matter sometimes our motives. He can use it all, right? He can use it all.
Anyway, so it was beautiful. And then I became a leader, an assistant leader, assistant youth pastor.
Yeah.
And that's where my ministry journey started.
And would you say that like you, because that's really interesting, you're talking about like the guy who gave you a hug and just like, oh, wow, this is a bit different. Would you even say that you... were becoming aware of the presence of God, like through the people.
Totally. Because I was seeking.
Yeah.
And the world wasn't loving me. The world wasn't Wowzers. Loving me. There was no love.
Woo.
But then I walk into here and this guy gives me... Now, let me backtrack. I was sexually abused at boarding school. So this hug triggered something that I'm going, oh my God, what is this all about?
Wow.
But I found out it was actually... pure love. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
and it wasn't just him. It was everybody there.
Wow.
And that's like, I'm a hugger today.
Yeah.
Because I just go, you know, if John hadn't have hugged me, I might not have stayed. I might not. Because that broke something. That triggered something. But because it triggered something, I was able to deal with it. But God's presence was, and those moments in that youth group down in our little bat cave, man cave, whatever you want to call it, was the most amazing. I experienced God's presence like I'd never experienced. I experienced something that I couldn't put words to. Now I can.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. It changed my life. Changed my life.
Wow. Wow. Just see the tapestry of the hand of the Lord.
Totally. Totally.
Phenomenal. So now you are, as you're saying, started ministry. You're pastor here. You look after our Numa Melbourne East location. Go the Easties. Yes. And you're a dad of three kids. You're a husband. You 101
of one wife.
noted. but I guess in a full life like the one that you have, what does growing in an awareness of the presence of God look like for you today?
Practically.
Yeah, let's get practical because we want to equip people.
Yes. Okay. So. You've got to be intentional.
I want to be equipped.
Yeah, I do too. You've got to be intentional. I think, first of all, you've got to be intentional.
Very good.
You know, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I think it comes back to that scripture. Once you've tasted the goodness of God, once you've seen the goodness of God, you cannot not go into a day without it. That's where I'm at the moment. I cannot afford to... leave out of my front door without spending time with Papa God, without spending time with Father. So I wake up in the morning. I set my alarm, even when it's 2.3 degrees in the morning.
Yes, preach.
I set my alarm in case I don't wake up, but I normally am awake before before the alarm goes off. Sometimes God wakes me up, there was a season that he woke me up at 3:37 every morning. But so my day looks like this. I get up. First of all, the first thing I do is I say, morning, Father, morning, Jesus, morning, Holy Spirit.
That's beautiful.
Before I even climb out of bed. Finish up, go downstairs. I shower. I do everything. I prepare everything. So I'm not trying to wake up and then speak to Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm awake. Go down, make a coffee, and I call it coffee time with Jesus.
Yeah, beautiful.
Put on music. I cannot play music with words because then I'm singing
me
along.
Me too. Yeah, me
it's
too.
Very instrumental.
I get distracted.
And it shouldn't even be a tune.
Yeah,
it's just and then I learned this from Michael Koulianos. He was saying that, you know, in his book about Holy Spirit, he was saying he asks Holy Spirit to help him pray.
Beautiful, beautiful,
I ask Holy Spirit. And you know what? I found when I ask Holy Spirit to help me pray, it's something I sense it before I speak it. I cannot explain it to you.
Wow.
When I realize it. So I ask Holy Spirit to help me pray, and then I just start praying. Well, I'm not praying. I start chatting. I first worship. I just adore him.
Adore him, come on.
And then I start thanking him for things, and then I ask questions. So I get my journal out. So I journal. I'm very much everybody should be journaling, and I ask questions, but I write them down.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this process, like, you know, the pen with the four colors.
Yeah.
So black is JJ. So in black, I go, you know, like even this morning there was a question I had to ask God, and I ask God the question in black, and then blue, royal blue is Father God, and I'll click it over. And then I write everything that Father God says to me in my journal. And so I go through the process of, you know, it's chat time.
Yeah.
Like you and I chatting.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm chatting with Father. I'm chatting with Father. Okay. And then after that, I take the word, but I've got to say, in the chat time, it's not God do this. It's not my check. It's not my to-do list for God. God do this and this. It's chat time. It's question and answer time. So I get being time to chat. very much aware of His presence, where Holy Spirit's guiding and leading. And then I take the Word, and then I study the Word. And I take a book, like I'm reading through Hebrews again.
Yeah.
And I read maybe one or two verses.
Mm-hmm.
Word study, or if something, I love the Passion Translation.
Yeah.
But then I also sit with the New King James Version excerpts. So I'm back and forth. Then I get the Amplified out. And those two, three verses, because everybody thinks, I've got to read through it, and I've got to do a whole chapter a day. And I just read two, three verses, or maybe even one verse. And I go until I have to leave home to come to work, or whatever the case is. So that's the awareness. But when I leave home, this is the key. I've already tuned in. I've already, so to speak, I've already become aware of His presence.
Yep.
But I always, one thing I forgot to say, I always sit with my diary on the right-hand side with a pen ready. Because what I find is when I go and sit, there's a lot of voices.
Yes. There's a lot of... Oh, talk about that, JJ, because that's so real.
Yeah. You've got to do, you know, I sit there and I go, I've got to phone Aaron.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, right there. And yes, if I don't write it down, I'm constantly
you're trying to remember it. Yeah.
Oh, I've got to pay the rego. I write that down.
Yeah.
So it's like in sifting all these voices out of my head.
Yes.
But
yes.
I write them down. So that becomes my to-do list for the day. And I find that as it's like the enemy throws all these distractions at you. But every time I write them down, it's like, there you go, Satan. Try another one.
Yeah.
Okay, and I write that down. Yeah. I write that down.
So
until
good.
Until eventually, there's no more voices. There's no more to-do lists. There's no more reminders. And then it's like, there you are. I love what Chuck Parry says, you know, when he says, put your hand, and he goes, take a deep breath, and you breathe out, and you go, there you are. That's that moment for me. And then from that moment, I go into my worship, I go into my thank you, I go into my
beautiful.
Word, okay, from that moment.
And then you're saying when you leave the house, you do something as well.
When I leave the house, I'm aware of His presence. So I climb into the car. It's not like it. I go, tick that box.
Thanks God, shut the door.
Close, see you later. I see you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, no. I think sometimes we can do a lot like that. Like if we're not conscious, like you were saying, it takes intentionality. If we're not intentional, it can be like, okay, I've done God in this box, tick, done it. Like I've washed the dishes this morning before I left the house, tick, done it. Like we put Him in a box.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So then when I'm in the car, like even on the way here this morning, in the car, I was saying to everybody, you know, I'm preparing myself for a 45-minute drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 22 minutes. How good was that? But in that time, I'm aware of Him. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm aware of, you know, maybe I'll say, oh, thanks, Jesus, for being with me. You know, I don't always do that. But there's this, as soon as that thought comes to mind, like phone, there's a friend of mine on the Gold Coast that's on my heart this morning. And there's a family at East that was on my heart this morning driving.
Beautiful.
In. So then I go, I won't say it now, but I'll speak to, the lady on the phone, because if I say now, she's going to come up.
Yeah.
And I go, make a note. Phone this family. So I'm aware of His prompting constantly. And you know what? Normally when I get those promptings and I do make the phone call, I go, that your timing is just immaculate. No, it's my timing. It's Holy Spirit's timing. I'm just listening, being aware and being obedient.
So
obedience
good.
Is important, Aaron. We know that in prayer. When you're aware, you can be aware and you can hear His voice, but if you're not obedient...
Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I think that's another way as well to, like, if you want to grow in the awareness of the presence of God, be obedient with what He prompts you to when you're there.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's like you go back and you're like, well, why would I give you more if you haven't
exactly.
captured what I've already said to you, you know, kind of thing. So I do think obedience is a very important point when we're talking about how to cultivate a life that is increasingly aware of the presence of God. Sometimes I've had seasons where I've been tracking along with God and been like, yep, this is great. Like, you know, we're in a close relationship. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, silence. I'm like, what happened? Like, where did you go? What happened? And He'll take me back to something. He's like, we've already had this conversation. And as soon as I action, like, just, oh, so sorry, God, you're 100% right. Let me, like, forgive me, help me, Holy Spirit, empower me to do what the Lord has shown me and do it. And it's like, okay, here we go. Like, obedience is so key. It's really true.
But coming back to that, you've got to be obedient, being intentional, but then be obedient in making time
Yeah.
To be aware of his presence.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, we've talked a lot on the podcast. It's been good, actually, about like the holiness of a schedule. Like a schedule can seem like such an unholy, sacred thing, but it isn't. And when we actually do that, we dedicate time, like as an offering to God. We can dedicate money as an offering to God. We can dedicate our children as an offering to God. We dedicate our time as a love offering to the Lord, and it prioritizes. It gives Him the right priority. It was like, if you would say to Pauline, okay, you know, I do, and then disappear and like, oh, who knows when I'll see you next kind of thing. We'll just see how life works out. That would not be a great covenantal relationship, right? And it's the same with God. Like we say like, yeah, Jesus, I accept you in like into my heart and come and live in my heart and I want to follow you. And then it's like, oh, and then who knows when I'll like kind of see you next, or we'll just work around my other schedule. It's not the priority. Like it's not the right priority in our heart for the one that we love.
And I think, yeah, coming back, that first good morning, Father, good morning, Jesus, God, before I even get out of bed, it's like I'm immediately aware of Him.
Yes.
And you know what I've also found, and it was great having you over at East and teaching on dreams and visions and stuff, I've said to the Father, help, I want a dream. And I've been dreaming at night.
Come on, JJ.
But now it's my thing of, help me remember those dreams.
Yep.
Although I'll forget those dreams. I dream. But it's, even at night, it's like, what, this awareness of His. I wake up, Belinda was saying this the other day as well, I wake up singing a song or this verse going over and over in my, now I'm not saying I'm super spiritual.
No.
I'm not.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Good.
But it's just making that time. And you don't want to say it's like a habit, forming that habit of His awareness.
Yes.
But it's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You can't just think it's going to happen naturally. I think many of us go, oh, we don't want to put the effort in. It's like you want to lose weight, but you don't want to go to the gym or you don't want to eat well.
It's so human, isn't it? We're so human. That's awesome.
Too human.
Oh, yeah. So, a thousand different questions come to mind, but I want to ask you about your family. So, three kids, as we spoke about, and some like, you know, in different stages. So you have a teenager and then you have two that are coming into like adult life.
Yeah. Young adult.
Young adult. So for you and Paulina, I know you guys are very intentional about the discipleship of the children that God has entrusted you with. So can you talk to us just a little bit about, I guess, helping your children cultivate an awareness of the presence of God in their lives? Yeah.
I feel God on that one. You know what? Again, you've got to be intentional. You know, you think many times you send your kids to kids' church and kids' church is going to make it happen.
Right. They're in kids' church, but it's a small percentage of their week.
Exactly. Or I send them to a Christian school. They'll be fine.
True.
No. It's your responsibility as a parent, number one. I think for Paulina and I, we were not aware of the responsibility. You know, it's just like you've got to raise these children and you hope that they'll be okay.
You hope and pray.
Then we went to Bethel. This is what, 9 and 10, the first time we went to Bethel. We've had the privilege of going to Bethel many, many times. But we went to Bethel and Seth Dole, we were invited to go and sit in the kids' church in Bethel.
Beautiful,
which not everybody gets that opportunity. And Seth Dole was running the kids' ministry at Bethel. And he said, okay, just sit to the side and you're not allowed to activate, you're not allowed to be involved with the kids. You've just got to sit there and observe. And my gosh, what I saw was these kids worshiping in spirit and in truth. Like on the one side, you had a group that were soaking in His presence. In the middle, you had a group that were worshiping, so they were singing and raising their hands and clapping. And then on the other side, on the right hand side, you had a group that were dancing and they had the flags, and I sat there and I wept like a baby. And afterwards I spoke to Seth, and Seth gave me this terminology which we now all know and talk about, and that is that there is no junior Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is no junior Holy Spirit. That was a realization to me that my kids, who were already sensitive to God, were, Holy Spirit was with them. So now I had to make them aware that the Almighty God, through Holy Spirit, lives within them. So what we start when we came back from Bethel.
Yeah, where did you start with that? Because that's huge.
We used to have family meetings.
Yep.
Okay, we'd have family meetings, and when we had to make a decision, we would make a decision together.
Mm-hmm.
So we would say, okay, we're going to pray about this. Now, we can say we're going to pray about this and then go away and go, have we prayed about it? And everybody goes, yeah. But we prayed around the table, and I led the family in a prayer. So we'd say, let's say we had to make a decision on a house. We'd say, we'd pray, I'd lead a prayer, and we'd have two houses, and we'd say, Father God, and then they would repeat, Father God, which house do you want us to move into? Which house do you want us to move into? We'd all close our eyes. Now, we know the two houses are on the table.
Okay.
Then we'd close our eyes. And then I would start with Elizabeth because she was the youngest. And I'm talking about Elizabeth was maybe seven.
So important. Yeah.
And I'd go, Elizabeth, which house? And she'd go, that one. So then I'd go, Edward, who's the second youngest. And he would show Jay. He would show Paulina. She would. And I knew which, I had mine. And I would show them as well.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say 9 times out of 10, we all had the same. So when we had to move, this was amazing because when they got older, and we constantly did that. So if they had to make a choice, do I want to do athletics or do I want to do rugby? Let's
come
pray
on.
About it.
Yes.
What does Holy Spirit say?
Come on.
So we would pray together with the child, and then they would go, I think Holy Spirit's telling me to do athletics. And we would sense the same and say, yeah, we feel the same. So that's how they got to sense it. So when we had to move from, when we moved from a church, I won't mention names, but from a church to another, or we had to decide on which church we were going to, we were gobsmacked.
Wow.
At how each one of us got the name of the church. Even Elizabeth, as small as what she was, but it didn't stop there. So we prayed, we heard this church, and then I said, all right, now we've got to pray and fast as a family to get confirmation. And each one of us has to journal for this next week, and then we'll compare notes with the journals, yeah? Now, this was 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Uh-huh. Okay?
And so we journaled, and everybody fasted, let's say Elizabeth fasted, her muesli bars, and Paulina fasted, everybody fasted something.
Yeah,
okay. And that Sunday when we sat and we compared notes, oh my goodness. Started with Elizabeth, she brought out her journal and the stuff she had written in there and the scriptures, Edward the same, Jay the same. And then I went to Paulina, and Paulina said to me, said to us as a family, the very first day that she had fasted and prayed, God said to her, I will give your answers through your children.
Wow.
So out of that, and of course I knew where we were heading, so because of what they said, we made the choice. And I tell you, it was amazing. So you've got to be intentional at a young age.
So I love 1,000 things in that testimony of what you just shared. I love that, first of all, you and Paulina were intentional and led and modeled what that looked like for your children, like even modeling the prayer. Like sometimes, we have to show or model something for our little ones. So I love that you did that as a whole family. I love that you honored the Holy Spirit in them, and that, yeah, we agree. There's no junior Holy Spirit.
There's no junior Holy Spirit.
And I love that, when God is the head of a household, he wants to lead the household. Like he doesn't want a house divided. So when you're truly seeking him as a household, like I say that to married couples all the time that are like, such and such, my husband's thinks the Lord says this and I think the Lord's saying this. And I'm like, well, you need to pray and fast. You need to continue to pray together because he's not going to lead two people who are covenanting together in two different directions. That would violate his entire covenant. So like, keep praying, keep seeking him. And so I love that as a family, each of you received that confirmation. And then how much more, I guess, aware, first of all, your children would be aware of the presence of God working in their devotional life, working in your family, the presence of God at work, like in the totality of their decision-making from one season to another. And Seth, I would just say for anyone who, I guess, has heard that testimony and is interested in like, oh, we'd love to do more of this with our kids. Seth Dahl has an amazing book, which is called Raising Spirit-Led Kids. If you don't know where to start, it's an incredible resource. You can grab it online, but it just does step-by-step things that you can actually do with your children in this space.
I just want to say as well, though, that, you know, don't think my kids are angels and they sit and they do their devotions every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, kids are kids, yeah. But if you model it, like when my kids know when I'm in, I call it the throne room in my prayer closet.
Yeah.
The door's shut, the music's going, they know I'm busy praying. They hear me praying. So I model it. It's gotta start with me first as father.
Yes.
And it's gotta start with Paulina as well.
Uh-huh.
So they don't sit and journal every day. But Edward, who's now in the Navy, the other day, you know, he's in the recruits. And the other day I was chatting to him and he said to me, Papa, I prayed and God said to me, my gosh.
Yeah.
My gosh. This is a 17-year-old who's amongst a bunch of rough diamonds,
yes,
so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's in that moment. He's going, I prayed and God said to me. So he senses the presence of God. Yeah. But if we didn't do that then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At 7 years old, how can at 17? Yeah.
Yeah. We have a massive responsibility and it's not difficult. It's not difficult because guess who's your helper?
Yeah. What would you say to, I guess, parents that perhaps are feeling like, oh gosh, I barely feel like I can be aware of the presence of God. How do I even start with my kids?
I would say that's a very good question. I would say you've got to start first.
Okay.
Don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
Like there's some, you don't have to tick all these boxes. JJ, you don't know how little time I have. I understand, you know. You're the pastor, you can sit with your Bible every day. No,
yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
I have a schedule as well. I have to go to work, you know. There's a number of things I have to do. But it's, even if it's 15 minutes, you've got to start somewhere, 10 minutes, and then you model it, and then you include them in the conversations. That's where it starts. You include them in the conversations. They may not get it right. You may not get it right. But if they see you doing it, then they are more, okay.
Yep.
You know, why do people not want to do things? Because a lot of times they don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how. So even this podcast and this consecration and everything that we're doing for the next 12 days and giving them the tools to do it helps people. Oh,
yes.
Is this how you do it?
Yes.
So that's the same with your kids.
That's so good. And in our prayer and fasting toolkit online, we actually have one prayer practice that's completely dedicated to families, to parents with young children, talking about how to actually even just like, okay, you like easy ways and easy questions to ask your children to help them become more aware of the presence of God. Just simple things like, okay, you've had a play date, you picked them up, you've got them in the car. Instead of asking like, how was the play date? Or like, you know, something simple like that, be like, oh, you know, what, did you feel anything? Do you feel like God's, you know, showed you anything? Do you feel like, you know, what's God's heart for your friend? Just really simple questions that they can sort of start to ask.
What is Holy Spirit saying to you?
Yeah.
What is Holy Spirit saying to you? Like, that's one question we always used to ask.
Great. Yes,
what is Holy Spirit saying to you? I don't know. I don't hear him. Okay, just what do you think? Don't be afraid. And then they go, I think he's saying blah, 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 blah. And then you go, yeah, that's exactly. So they've got to realize, it's like when somebody senses the presence of God. Yeah, you know, some people sense the presence with warmth, some with sweaty hands, some with tingles. Even at church, we go, you may be feeling this or this or this or this.
Yep.
That could be the presence of God. Don't deny it. Yep. Oh, I've got sweaty hands. Is that maybe the presence of God?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same with your kids. Oh, I think it's this. Yes, it is that.
Yeah.
I always go, if it's positive, it has to be from God.
Yes. I was having this conversation just this week. Someone's like, oh, do you think that... So their parents had blessed them with something and we were debating of like, what is coming from God? What is not coming from God? And I was like, well, you know the characteristics of God. We know his nature. We know his goodness, kindness, etc. So if anything in the world is of that, it is from him. Like there's only two sources for things. So, yeah. And I think even just gratitude as well of like, yeah, we're going to thank God for like the sunny day that there was today when we went to the park. We're going to, you know, like cultivating in the everyday parts of our lives an awareness of his presence. JJ, we could chat for hours.
I know.
But we probably need to wrap up. So I was just wondering if you could pray for us. And yeah, just, I guess, however you feel led by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, we thank you for your presence through Holy Spirit. We thank you that wherever we go, Holy Spirit goes with us.
Yes.
We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are constantly with us. And our hearts cry in these next 12 days of consecration is that we will become more aware of your presence. Help us to see, Holy Spirit. Help us to hear. Help us to feel. Help us to obey. Be aware and obey. Help us in this time to just dig our heels in and sit at the feet of Jesus. Not be distracted. Help us to create moments of encounters where we can just linger a little longer and experience your tangible presence. Father, we are grateful for what we have, and we are expectant for what you have. We know that you are busy. You are busy creating and establishing a bride that is that you are going to come and fetch. And we just ask that you will help us in this time to come closer to you. Come closer to you. Do not try and strive and jump through hoops to make this happen. But as we pray, as we fast, it's not about ticking the box, but it's about knowing you more and more, knowing your presence more and more. So, Father, thank you for an open heaven, and thank you that lives are being touched and changed in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, JJ, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us today on day number 6. And as you guys know, we've just been talking about there is a prayer and fasting toolkit available online, which has a different prayer practice for each day to help you and us and me and everyone cultivate an awareness of the presence of God. You can grab that from the show notes in this podcast, from Instagram, from the Church Center app, anywhere we are, you can grab it. And we also want to hear your testimony. We so want to hear what God has been doing in your life, in your family's life, in your children's life during these 12 days of prayer and fasting. How have you guys become more aware of the presence of God through this season? You can share that with us. You can DM us on Instagram. You can share that also with us via our website. That is pneuma.church/pray. May God's grace and peace be with you, fam. See you tomorrow.